This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. We're looking ahead to an event taking place across much of next week, in fact, in the Icelandic capital between the 12th and 16th of March. It is Food and Fun, a festival bringing those two things together. And in charge of it all, a very busy man in the run-up to that event is Ulli Hall, who joins me today to guide us through. I guess we start, Ulli, by talking about how previous festivals have gone, and then we'll get into what's expected this year. So let's start with a quick recap of last year's festival, what you did, and maybe we can get a sense of what to expect from this year's from that.
Yeah, so last year's festival, the one in 24, it was a great success. It was a lot of fun, and I think it's always, for us, the organizers, a really good sign that we did well when all of the chefs are leaving on Sunday or Monday, that they're all asking if they can come back again next year, or please invite me again when you can. And I had the best time. And I think that's a really good sign for us. And as well as seeing restaurateurs in the city being happy and just having this kind of general vibe of, it's like, because in the restaurant industry, Christmas is quite busy. So it's like Christmas for the restaurant industry. It's where you get everyone together, and the restaurant industry family comes together for one long weekend and enjoys the celebration of food and fun.
And anyone here to enjoy it will have a unique experience, because very often some of these dishes are created just for this festival. And this is a collaboration, isn't it, as you touched on there, between restaurants and guest chefs. So I guess firstly, you talked about those chefs saying, we had a great time, we want to come back. Do you have a lot of them returning this year?
We have a few returning faces, or a few familiar faces. A couple who did very well last year, and the restaurateurs in Iceland who had them, they asked if they could bring them back. And for us, it's a fantastic option. And so we have two or three that are returning from last year, and then we have one or two that have been here in previous festivals as well, maybe a few years back. And yeah, so the collaboration between chefs and restaurants, it used to be that my father was the founder. He's one of the founders of the festival, Chef Sigihol. He was one of the few that had like connections outside of the restaurant industry in Iceland. So he was just bringing in chefs from all over and then going, you go there, you go there, you go there. But then I think a lot of it due to Food and Fun, and also just a changing global environment, everyone is more connected. Now the chefs at the restaurants, they know chefs abroad. They have gone somewhere, they have met someone, they have worked at restaurants outside of Iceland. So now they are like, oh, can we bring this person? We will really want to bring this chef. So it's been different than it used to be. But we are, of course, always handpicking a few select chefs that we are in connection with, and of course help everyone who needs a hand in finding the best chef.
And this is also about showcasing Icelandic ingredients, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. It's one of my favorite stories. We have fantastic produce in Iceland. We have the lamb that grazes freely in the summer. We have one of the best cod in the world, and then the dairy products in Iceland, they are really amazing. And we have had chefs coming here, and just the Icelandic butter that people in Iceland don't really recognize, and they take it for granted. They are having the Icelandic butter, and they are transporting 5 or 10 kilograms in their bags of Icelandic butter just to take back to their home country. So it's quite funny how that plays out. And then, of course, we have all of the greenhouse energy we have in Iceland, the geothermal energy that we can grow almost anything. We have exciting products, for example, a lot of chefs have been really taken back by how good the quality of the Icelandic wasabi, for example, is.
Yes.
And some strains and different plants and products.
I guess that a lot of people would be surprised not just that Icelandic wasabi is of high quality, but in many cases that it exists at all.
Yeah, of course. And I'm a big fan, and I'm a bit biased because I used to collaborate with them a lot, and it's a fantastic product. And it's actually something that you can find not only in Iceland, but the Icelandic product, it's in Michelin restaurants all over Europe. So
now we've just been through the month of Thori, and a lot of people maybe outside of the country will have heard of some of the more traditional, maybe scary Icelandic foodstuffs that are consumed during that month. And yes, at this point, we are talking about the ram's testicles. We are talking about the hokat, the pickled shark, and the putrefied shark, and all of that. Does this festival touch on any of that? Does it take some of those very traditional, difficult foods and do anything with them? Or does it leave it alone?
We have never had a chef, in my opinion, thankfully, we've never had a chef that serves up haukat or something of that sort on their menus during Food and Fun. But I am under the opinion that Icelandic food heritage, it's we don't have a ton of recipes going back 100 years ago, 200 years, like the Italians or French maybe, that are still being used because of the conditions we had in Iceland. Everything had to be fermented, super salted, or preserved in some way. So, but we have amazing produce. And now when we have the ability to serve it fresh, it's a completely different thing. So we have the fermented skate that we have on the day before Christmas Eve. It's a debatable course, but it is also able to serve that piece of fish, the skate, not fermented. And
yes,
do it especially well, for example, at Brut. So it's a fantastic, it's actually a really good fish when it's done properly.
Yes.
And so it might be either it might be a very unpopular opinion from me or a very popular one. At least it's
a diverse one. Last year before Christmas on the 23rd on Thorleiksmessa, which is when this food is traditionally served, and I wasn't at work, I wasn't in the office on that particular day, but the canteen at work was offering the fermented skate. And there was a very clear division of opinion within the rest of the building as to whether this was a good idea, because the smell does linger and spread, doesn't it?
It does, it does. It's the thing is, food is a matter of opinion for everyone. Everyone has an opinion on food. And for this, I don't know, maybe some people have evolved or developed some certain functional or dysfunctional taste buds for this particular taste.
Yes.
Then maybe it is a bit of a competition in showing how fermented and how much of the fermented skate you can eat. I go yearly with a group, we go to the skate at fish markets. And so even then, when it's in kind of a fine dining environment, I'm there for the company and I try my hand at the food.
Okay, so that's not going to be a feature of the festival if anyone is thinking of coming to Iceland to enjoy it. You've got 4 days to do this because the 12th to the 16th is when this is going to be in operation, it's going to be up and running. And I guess anyone that is here for that can eat themselves around the city and try a bit of everything.
Exactly. It's taking place in 18 to 19 restaurants around Reykjavik. So it is Food and Fun. We strive to make it a festival where everyone can go and enjoy a meal. So if it is, for a lot of people, it is like the one night a year where they decide to go out and treat themselves to a fancy dinner, they do it for Food and Fun. But it's also those that go regularly out to dinners and are the foodie kinds. They try to maybe visit one, two, three, even a lot of people I know, they try to go every night to a different restaurant. So you have that option to kind of walk your way around or travel around Reykjavik and book a table at different restaurants each night. And I mean, for the most fanatic foodies out there, I'd say it is even possible to go to 8 different restaurants in the 4 days, just to one seating at 5 p.m. and then another one at 9 p.m. But I think I still have not met that foodie yet. But
Sorry, go on.
No, it is... All bookings are, you can find all information on the website about the restaurants and the chefs who are going to be the guest chefs. We are soon going to be publishing the menus, but it's the restaurant industry and it is chaotic like this industry normally is. So everyone is putting their final touches on the menu.
Yes.
So we usually get them in-house around this time and then we can start publishing them on the webpage. And from there, you can book a table at each of the restaurants.
Well, details on all of that on the page accompanying this show from Roof English Radio. We'll place a link to all of that. And again, just briefly, you touched on it. It's a chance not just for people to enjoy the food, a chance not just for the chefs to come to Iceland, but also for the restaurants to show off a little bit as well, because they have this collaboration with these guest chefs. They know the food is going to be top notch. They know that's a point of interest, but a chance for the restaurants to kind of express themselves and showcase themselves too.
Yeah, 100%. So it is a collaboration. It is a collaborated menu between the restaurant here and the chef. So they are in contact and they go back and forth crafting like a menu that has a lot of the elements from what the chef is doing and what is in their kind of cuisine. And then using Icelandic ingredients as well as getting recommendations from maybe the restaurants themselves, like, hey, you should really try out this product, or you, how do you think if we switch up this fish, this is local to your region, and take in this Icelandic ingredient, maybe it's scallops instead of something else, and so utilizing that. And what has happened in the past, like I mentioned a little bit before, is there have chefs come to Iceland for food and fun. They do a guest chef at one of the restaurants. And then from there, maybe one of the young trainees or something, they have a contact now in the international culinary scene. And they might go abroad for a few months or a year and stage at their restaurant, at the guest chef's restaurant, and then come back to Iceland with more knowledge and a different perspective. And as well as the guest chefs going back to their home countries with a new perspective and some new ingredients from Iceland that they that often find their way on the menus of their own restaurants.
Well, it sounds like a win-win or a win-win-win for everyone.
Definitely. It's a win-win-win for everyone. And it's, it's a lot of fun. And so I think, honestly, it's a win-win-win. Everyone should be happy when they eat good food. And
well, listen, you've got a busy few days ahead, so we'll let you crack on. Oli, thanks very much indeed. Food and fun details on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio, and it starts on the 12th of March next week here in Reykjavik. It's Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.